This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Wa alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul uqtatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to His words, to have an impact that changes our lives and brings us to the purpose for which we were created, which is to be ibad, or slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in total loving, willing obedience and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma aftah masami'a qulubina li dhikrik. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the hearing channels of our hearts, not just of our ears, to His remembrance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show us truth as truth and falsehood as falsehood. Help us to remain steadfast on the truth and follow it, and help us to stay away from falsehood. Ameen. We are going to be continuing on this early Makkan surah, which is Al-Fajr, which we started last time. And this is one of the earliest surahs that were revealed in the Makkan period, when the Prophet ﷺ was facing a lot of challenges and opposition, along with the handful of believers that were there in Makkah. So always keep that scenario in mind. That's the context. And as you know, there was rejection, there was ridicule, there was persecution, all of this was going on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this surah in that background, and He starts this surah with what we call qasam, or oath. And as we said, Allah does not need to take an oath on anything, but He takes oaths on His creation, and we can only take oaths on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can only swear by Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes oath not to show that He is telling the truth, because He is the most truthful of all truthful, but to stress something, that something important is coming, to focus our attention. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the qasam. He says, wal fajr, wal layalin ashr, wal shaf'i, wal watr, wal layli idha yasr. All of these are aqsam, or oaths. He's swearing by the dawn, by the 10 nights, and we said these are the 10 nights. There are different opinions, the most common opinion being the first 10 nights of the month of Dhul Hijj, going up to the Yawm al-Eid, and Wash-Shaf'i wal-Watr, the even and the odd, and there are different interpretations of this, whether this is the 9th and 10th of Dhul Hijjah, or whether it's the ultimate witr, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as one, and everything else is in pairs, created in pairs. Well, layli idha yasr, and the night as it travels. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes these oaths because something important is coming, and we are not going to go into details of those again. And then He goes on to tell us that hal fi dhalika qasamul lidhi hijr. In these, isn't this enough for people of understanding to know that what is the truth? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادْ إِرَمَ ذَاتِ الْإِمَاتِ أَلَّتِي لَمْ يُخْلَقْ مِثْلُهَا فِي الْبِلَادِ. That have you not seen the people of Ad? And as we said, this is a way of confirming something, because none of us have seen that, and the Prophet ﷺ did not see the people of Ad and what happened to them. But he's saying it in such a way, the style, that means happened absolutely, like you should be that convinced as if you saw it with your eyes. So as we said, these are people from southern Arabia, in the area of Hadramaut and Oman, that area. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had built them in a special way. They were very tall, very strong, very mighty, and they were known for these big pillars that held up the architecture and their tents, because they were huge people in a huge dimension. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says elsewhere, and here also, that we have not created anyone like them. So they had might. And they, elsewhere in the Quran, they said, And who is mightier than us? This is how they felt, arrogant. And Allah responds to that by saying, and Allah is mightier. So what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them a messenger by the name of Sayyidina Hud alayhi salam. He warned them. They rejected the message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a hurricane force wind for 7 days and 8 nights and destroyed them. 7 nights and 8 days. You also said that last time. Yeah. 7 days and 8 nights. Well, yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَثَمُودَ الَّذِينَ جَابُوا الصَّخْرَ بِالْوَادِ. And the people of Thamud, which were in northern Arabia, who used to sort of excavate rocks and make their dwellings in them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them, Sayyidina Salih, to call them to the truth and to give up their wrong ways. And they rejected it. They wanted a special sign that, you know, make a female camel come out of this mountain as a, you know, to ridicule the messenger. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually produced this miracle over there. And their warning was that if you harm this creature of Allah, then you will be destroyed within a certain period of time. And that's what happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed that nation. And then he said the ruins are still there. Like we said last time, it's about 400 kilometers north of Medina. So somebody who goes there can visit them for Ibra, for learning lessons of what people were, what might and power they had, and look what their end was. وَفِرْعَوْنَ ذِي الْأَوْتَادِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Pharaoh, the one who used to put people on the stakes and torture them and build these pyramids and all of that, what was common among these people? They were given might and power over the lands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what did they do with it? أَلَّذِينَ تَغَوْ فِي الْبِلَادِ. And what they did was, Taghaw means to exceed all bounds. They became tyrannical. They transgressed against all limits and they did what they did. We have the stories of them. And this tughyan was a recipe and a precursor to the disaster that was going to come. فَأَكْثَرُوا فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ. That they spread on this earth fasad. And we said fasad means everything that causes corruption, mischief, depravity, evil on earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that all the fasad on the earth is the product of the actions of man. Allah does not create fasad. Allah does not create evil. But Allah puts laws in place that if you do this, this will be the evil consequence of it. Okay? And there are many examples given by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the actions that if you do this, this will happen. You know, if you commit such and such sin, this will be the results on the earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that all of this is because they had power, they forgot who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. فَصَبَّ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّكَ سَوْطَ عَذَابٍ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala poured down on them a punishment like a whip and destroyed them all. And then in the end, after describing this is the consequence of these people who had this power, and this, then he comes to what is called the Jawab of Qasam, which is what this oath is about. Inna Rabbaka Labil Mirsad. This is where we finished. Means certainly your Lord is Mirsad. Mirsad means ever watchful. He sees every single thing that's going on. He hears everything. He sees everything. He's aware of everything. So nobody should ever feel that nobody knows. يَسْمَعُ وَيَرَىٰ. He hears and he sees. So this is both a warning and a reassurance. It's a warning for the disobedient and the disbelievers that Allah is watching you. Just because he has given you some time, he's lax in pulling your strings, don't think that you are ahead and you're going to win. And it's also a bashara, good news for the believers who are being persecuted. For example, today, in different parts of the world where Muslims are being persecuted, they should take strength in these ayah that Allah is watching. And it's only a matter of time when all of the people who are transgressing, who are doing tughyan in the world, who are torturing people, who are imprisoning people, who are putting them in concentration camps, who are making them refugees, who are killing them with weapons. Allah is watching every single one of them. But His hikmah, His wisdom is, He will take care of it when He wants. So, these are some of the things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us by giving us examples of people who are, if you think you see people who are mighty, so we are the mightiest nation. Well, there have been many mighty nations in the past. Okay? And they bragged about it. You know, from the time of Alexander and before that, and Pharaoh and Namrud and all of these things, you know. The British Empire, you know, in the modern, the sun never sets on the British Empire. Guess what is the end? The sun hardly ever rises on the British Empire. Most days it's cloudy on that little island. This is the end. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us nothing passes unnoticed. Nothing is forgotten. And for us individually, that should be a reminder that we have to be very, very careful at all moments of what we say, what we do, even what we think. Because our thoughts become our words, words become our actions, action becomes habits, habits become character, and character is what's going to be weighed on the scales on the Day of Judgment. Okay. So that's where, this was the summary of what we had covered last time. Now we go to the next ayah, that the delusion of these people who had the might and power, and the delusion is not just for them, delusion for all people. My delusion, if Allah has graced me with power, or with authority, or with wealth, or connections, I should not be deluded. Oh, Allah is so pleased with me. Look who I am. Or vice versa, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenges us with difficulties, don't think, oh, why is Allah punishing me? This is not His punishment. So this misconception is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to us to listen to very carefully. He said, look, they misconstrued what was happening to them. The power that this was all a test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't make this erroneous assessment and conclusions. فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَالنَّعْمَ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا. When we try ibtila, Bala, it comes from that, means a trial, a tribulation. If Allah tries insan, mankind, by giving him. So trials are not just with difficulties. Most people think, oh, he's being tried because he is sick. Or he's very poor, can't find a meal. That's one form of trial. But somebody who's been given a lot, that's a different form of trial. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when we try him, his Rabb tried him, by giving him akramahu, being extra generous to him, giving him all kinds of ni'mah. When na'amahu, making things easy for him. Says, you know, so-and-so, life looks so wonderful. Everything goes their way. Okay? And this person then says, fayaqulu, he says, Rabbi akraman. Means, I am so good that my Lord has honored me. Look how he's doing this to me. He's given me power. He's given me wealth. I must be doing real good. And sometimes, not only that, they take credit for it themselves, you know, like Qarun. My skills, my education, my good business decisions, my connection, my power, all of that taking credit. But sometimes, even giving, saying that this is from Allah, but assuming it, that this is because Allah is pleased with me. Taking the blessings that you get as a sign of pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is only a means of trying you. When we are blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with whatever blessings we have, first thing, we should see where it is coming from. If it is coming from haram means, as we mentioned last time, that's not a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's evidence that's being stacked up against you. Okay. So the first thing to do is when we see blessings, we look at it, we recognize it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we also thank the means the agencies through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delivers those blessings for us. For example, a child is dependent on the parents, doesn't have money, doesn't have food, doesn't have... So the parents provide it, so what should be the duty of the child? To be grateful to their parents, because Allah has used them as an agency to deliver this. But also remember that it's not just my parents. There is the provider of my parents. That it's coming from my Rabb through my parents. So I thank my parents. And most importantly, I thank my Rabb. وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَحَنَنَ. And when, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when we قَدَرَ رِزْقَهُ, when we withhold his provision, make things tight for him. Okay? He doesn't have enough. He takes this, instead of as a test, he takes this, oh, Allah is punishing me for something. So in both cases, this is incorrect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, and then he says, Allah's Rabbi Ahanan, my Rabb is disgracing me, humiliating me. So the important lesson is having or not having resources, wealth, health is not an indication or proof of whether Allah loves you, whether He is honoring you or is pleased with you. This is not a proof. So a person who thinks this way makes the mistake of thinking of the trial as his reward. That's his trial. This is what ibtila. Okay, if Allah has given you health, that's your trial. What do you do? Allah has given you a long life. What do you do? Allah has given you children. What do you do? Allah has given you wealth. What do you do? It's not a reward. The reward is going to come later. This is your trial. Okay, so it's important for us to know that this is the test. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has two forms of tests, by making you wealthy or making you poor, making you healthy, making you sick, making you honored, making you disgraced, all of these things. So a person, the test for the one who's been given should be one of humility and gratitude, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who's been qadara alayhi rizqahu, who's been deprived, his response should be one of patience and knowing that there is khair in this because my Rabb has chosen this way for me. So not becoming irritable and complaining that why is this happening to me. So a man's reward is actually given according to what he proves himself to be as a result of these tests, and that is going to come in the hereafter. Therefore again, what he is given or denied of worldly comforts is not his reward. And a man's standing in the sight of Allah is in no way related to his possessions. For Allah gives and denies whoever He wants. As we just have these examples of disbelievers who were given kingdoms and power, and we see that today. You know? And for ourselves, if we are being tested, just remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attributes are those of Jamal, of beauty and mercy and kindness, and of Jalal, of might and severity and strength. Many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first manifests His Jalal on people. You go through difficulty. Then ultimately the Jamal comes. Inna ma'al usri yusra. With difficulty or after difficulty. Elsewhere He says, ba'da usri yusra. Ease will come. So person should never, nothing lasts in this dunya. Difficulties are not going to last, they will change. Neither does the opposite, because the dunya was not made to be permanent. There will always be ups and downs. The only place where it's only perfection is in the akhirah. No ups and downs, only up. So we have to remember this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, this is the way people think. Then He says, kalla. Kalla is an emphatic no. Means what this is your thinking is absolutely wrong. Then He gives an evidence why it is wrong. He says, bal la tukrimuna al-yatim. Look at your own actions. That you do not honor the orphans. You take advantage of the orphans because they have no strength and no backing in the society. You take their wealth. This is how people, and you dump them as undesirable just because they are orphans. This is the action you do, and you think Allah is pleased with you? Does it make any sense? No. وَلَا تَحَادُونَ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ Look at your action. You don't feed the miskeen, the needy, the hungry. And not only you don't feed, you don't even encourage others to feed. تَحَادُونَ تَحَادُونَ means to urge, to encourage others, you know. Do it yourself and encourage others, you know. Let us all pool in money and let's go and find the needy and homeless and hungry and feed them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, these are your actions, and you yet, because I have given you, you think it's because Allah is pleased with you. وَتَأْكُلُونَ التُّرَاثَ أَكْلًا لَمَّا And you eat, Allah literally uses the word eat, turath means inheritance of people. You know, this happens all the time. When somebody passes away, everybody's trying to grab what they can, whereas there is a shar'i law of who gets what. So what happens most often? The weakest get nothing. And who are the weakest usually? The daughters, the women folk. So the sons grab everything, and that happens all the time. And then they may fight amongst themselves too. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you eat up the turath, the inheritance, and this devour the inheritance from their rightful inheritors, especially those who are weak. It used to happen. Girls and women had no inheritance before Islam. In fact, guess what used to happen? They themselves used to be inherited. A son would inherit his mother who gave birth because the father died. And this was not 1400 years ago. In the end of the 18th century in Europe, so-called civilized world, in 1882, they passed the Married Women's Property Act. That married women, otherwise they got nothing, can get property. 1882. More than a century, more than 1,000 years later. Similarly in this country, this is the 100th anniversary, this election, when women are going to be allowed to vote for the next president. They were not even allowed to vote. Okay? The women's right to vote, the 19th Amendment, was passed in August 18, 1920. This is only the 25th election that women are allowed to vote in this country. And they talk about women's oppression. In Islam, Islam is telling us 1400 years ago the status of women, that they have a right. Whatever is theirs, that they will inherit it. And it's not, there is gender differentiation for different things, but not across the board. Okay? For example, the mother and father inherit the same. Okay? It's not 2-to-1. Okay? There are many situations in which the women inherit more than a man, so don't be misguided by that. There are specific circumstances. In some, yes, there are 2 shares for the son and 1 share for the daughter. There's Allah's wisdom and there's a whole system. So just remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, these are your actions, that you eat up their wealth. What else do you do? وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّ And you have so much uncontrolled love for wealth instead of your love for Allah, that you want to accumulate, you want to have pools of wealth, pools, valleys and valleys of gold. Instead of having attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are absorbed in this love of wealth and want to gather it, forgetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this itself is the root cause of most of the corruption, including all the wars, depletion of resources, because one country wants to have more than others, more than what their needs are. And we see that. There are countries that have billion population where people are hungry, whereas few countries have a few million and they have all the wealth. Okay? And that's even in this country. They're the top 50 richest people in this country have more than 90% of the country combined together. Wealth. 50 people.